All right. I'm sorry, Sue in here. I wanted to see what her Bible said about some things, but we've done this before, but I want to do it just for the to certify us. I want to look at certain scriptures in the King James Version and then in the other versions.
Are there so many versions because people just change it to conform?
Fundamentally, what they do, they try to make the Bible understandable to your mind. And so let's look at a perfect example. Let's look at the Lord's Prayer. Go to Matthew 6.
I mean, how many different versions are there?
That's hundreds. Matthew 6. I'm going to look at my parallel Bible so I can give it to you straight. This thing on. Yeah. Okay, in Matthew 6, got to get to the right page here. We'll go to King James first. Matthew 6. After this manner, therefore, pray you.
What verse?
Verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. The verse 10 is the one that we want to look at. In the Living Bible, it says, we ask that your kingdom will come soon. May your will be done here on earth just as it is in heaven. The Amplified Bible says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Revised Standard says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
That's what I heard as a child.
Right. That's what everybody learned. But the King James says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, that's not a minor thing. Every other translation that I'm aware of, we're just looking at three of them, total four here, says on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what destroyed me as a child. Because in the middle of the Second World War, we were learning on earth as it is in heaven. We're singing songs, peace on earth. And that's when I said, well, God must have failed. Because we're in the midst of a world war. There's no peace on earth. Do you see the importance of that? One minor little thing. It's in instead of on.
Yeah. Well, you were deeply analytical as a young child.
No. I'm deeply anything.
I mean, for that to disturb you, on earth versus in earth.
Well, because, anybody should be able to see it. It's like, if peace on earth, well, then there was the middle of the Second World War.
That's true. But most 17-year-olds wouldn't be as...
Oh, I don't know about that. Okay. Let's look at another big one. 1 John. Chapter 4. I'm This is kind of important. King James says, in verse 1 and 2, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God." And this is that spirit of Antichrist that you've heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. So, that's the way you test whether somebody's telling you the truth. It's as big a deal as it can get. Amplified says, "Beloved, do not put faith in every spirit, but prove the spirits in order to discover whether they proceed from God. For many false prophets have gone forth into the earth, into the world. By this you may know, perceive, and recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit which acknowledges and confesses the fact that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, has come in the flesh as of God." Has come, not is come. Can you see how critical that is to the mystery? Living Bible says, "Dearly beloved friends, don't always believe everything that you hear just because someone says it. This becomes someone says it as a message from God. Test it first to see if it really is, for there are many false teachers around. The way to find out if their message is from God, from the Holy Spirit, is to ask, does it really agree that Jesus Christ, God's Son, actually became man with a human body? If so, then the message is from God." Revised Standard says, again, has come, was come, did come. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit which does not confess Jesus is not of God." Well, we could go on and on. There are hundreds of... But the idea that you would... You would learn in Sunday school, or Bible study, or even universities, or even seminaries, that the way you test whether something is true and whether a spirit is to be believed is if they confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. The Antichrist confesses he has come. The Antichrist confesses he will come. But it's only the Spirit of God that can confess he is come. Can you see the massive difference?
That removes the component of time, right?
Well, but the point of it is that it, the method that they're saying that you test the spirits by is false. And that's not a light matter.
These are some of the main reasons we've been reading out of King James for all these years.
That's one that I've been in that and a thousand other places. It was by far the most accurate translation. Well, let's look at what we were starting to study yesterday. This thing about a new creation. I think we finished 2 Corinthians 5:17. What did we end on?
We went to Revelation 13:1-3, and then we went to Galatians 3:27-28, and then we went to Galatians 6:12.
Is that where we stopped?
Yes.
Okay, go to Ephesians 2. Well, we have to go all the way up to chapter 2, verse 11. And he's contrasting Jews and Gentiles. Those are the two arenas in his world. Verse 11, wherefore remember that you believe in time past, that you, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace. So he made peace because he abolished the circumcision of the flesh and caused to a believers, both Jew and Gentile, to be have circumcision of the heart. So of two, he made one new man. Again, it's new, not chronos. That's new in time. But kairos, which is new in order, class, genus, all the other patterns by which you see whether something is of the same nature. We are totally and completely of a different nature. Old things have become, new. Well, I'm going to go on a rant here. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians 5. Now we can go to Colossians. We go to Colossians 3. If you be then risen, verse 1, if you be then risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life, your new life, which is Christ, is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, mortify means consider dead, your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For these things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. But now you also put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. There's no more distinction. In the other places, there's no more male or female, young or old, black or white, American or anything else. And this is why, Christian politicians, they're sort of an oxymoron. because we're not of this world. We're not of this race. We're not of anything. And all things have become new. There's nothing about the old you that still exists. Amen? What?
Well, when I read this, it keeps referring to you doing this and you doing that, and then says you're dead. So here you are dead, but you're doing.
But who is it doing?
Well, it's
the one that raised, the only one that has the capacity to raise himself from the dead. Yes, the instead of Christ, which is you.
So, but you, whose life is Christ.
If so be that you're risen with him.
No.
What's what it says?
No, you, is your life Christ or not? Say it.
My life, for me to live is Christ. To die is gain.
Okay, then you said your life is Christ. Now that's who we're talking about.
Well, that's not what this talked about.
Well, that's my question here. I'm trying to wrestle.
That's because, again, I say to you, the Antichrist is the default position. Because every time you try to use your mind, you've resurrected him from the dead.
If Antichrist is default, what is Christ?
Christ is there in his humility. He's always there, but he takes the lowest seat. He never occupies where you are.
So any salvation experience doesn't change that.
A salvation experience is the merest of beginnings. Then comes sanctification.
It doesn't matter that it's the merest. It changes the nature. It changes the beast. It's what you said earlier.
If many man is in Christ, he is a new creature.
Exactly. So then why does this Antichrist have so much power?
So that the seed of Christ could be tested in you in the same way it was tested in him. That's why you are transfigured by the renewing of your mind. Transfiguration is the goal. Salvation is the merest beginning. Sometimes it's conditional, sometimes it's saying it means in view of the fact.
Well, that's how I'd like to see it right here. Just in this conversation. And in view of the fact that you are risen with Christ, you will seek those things that are above.
As long as you set your affections on things that are above, your mind is still going.
I'm trying to get to where Christ is your life.
When you empty your mind.
And you can't get rid of it.
What?
You can't take a statement that Christ is IS come in the flesh, which you teach and preach and have forever. And we got it. We understand it. So if he is come in the flesh, then you will set your affections on these things because of who your life is.
Right.
Okay. Now, I don't disagree. The Antichrist will come and try and do this and try and do that. But he's been defeated.
But he gives it a show here.
And the test of your faith is the knowledge of his defeat. And just as Christ in his temptation rejected it. And so that's our test.
But.
Right, that at that moment.
But then why does it say be transfigured by the renewing of your mind?
Because you are transfigured by the renewing of your mind as you reject.
Right.
Because you have seen and you know who your life is, and when the Antichrist tries to come against that, you see it and you laugh it off or you do whatever you do. I find it.
That's fine. But for most people, that's not the way it works. For most people, they get seduced until that act of seduction by the world has no more power in you. And the tell of that is that you don't esteem the things the world esteems anymore. You don't want the things the world wants. You don't fear the things the world fears because you're not of this world.
Right, because your life is different.
But the test is the renewing of your mind. So that your mind is in the same place that Christ was, which is empty. That's why he only used his mind, he only paid attention to it three times after his baptism.
Well, whatever that was, it's this you always coming into the conversation is a big deal. And that's where I believe the test happens. Because you are dead.
Well, let's go to the test scripture then.
Okay.
Let's go to it's 2 Corinthians 10. But that's the goal of the renewing of your mind. So you no longer are tempted to use your mind for anything. It no longer, you laugh it off. It isn't there anymore. But you're always tempted to use your mind in the world. That's the temptation of Christ.
Well, I'm confessing I'm not in a fully repentant state 24/7. I haven't achieved that.
Well, let's go to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10.
All right. And Christ is already done. You're still in the place.
Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's kind of important. Casting down imaginations and every high place or thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. That's what sanctification is, that warfare right there. Casting down every imagination. Bringing every single thought into obedience to the captivity, I mean to the obedience of Christ. So that, you know, it sounds impossible.
Do you mind explaining again the difference between salvation and sanctification? So
salvation is beginning, the
okay.
merest beginning.
All right.
Sanctification is you going from the world as a believer to the mercy seat as a believer.
Where you truly have accepted its finished.
Well, there's so much other, though. That's only a part of it. It's bringing every single thought into captivity. Now, testing every thought and not giving any thought any breath unless it is seasoned with salt. Every thought has the component of eternity. If it doesn't, it's not worth anything. And your only life is of faith. You no longer walk as a brute beast paying attention to your senses, because you now see this new creature has been formed, and as you repent, is formed more so until you have become the empty vessel for him and him alone. And you have resisted all temptation to use your mind for cause and effect, to get this done, to do anything, because you're living by faith alone. That's, and again, that faith is emptying, total emptiness. We say, you know, there's all kinds of tornadoes going on. Well, each one of those tornadoes, you should see that in the center, in the eye of that tornado, is total peace. But everything around that tornado was raising havoc. Better example is a hurricane. The hurricane forms because the low pressure, the atmospheric pressure, goes down so low, it's in total peace. But everything around it is twirling and destroying. That's why the emptiness of your emptiness is critical to the salvation. I mean, stop and think. We've said this many times, but it's 12 men without any communication systems. The scriptures say they turned the world upside down in one generation. How? Because they walked in emptiness. They didn't have any aspect, give no breath to any thought, and weren't tempted to use it for any reason. The scriptures say that if you go to any other place for your corn, your wine, and your oil, your sustenance, then you've committed fornication from the Bible standpoint. Now, man, when I tried everything, I tried to get around that every way, but you can't. Because you've gone to another for your sustenance instead of God. You've gone to your own right arm, your own thoughts, your own mind, your own deal. Now everybody dances around this. Well, if I believe that, blah, blah, blah. Why every if any man speak, let him speak is from the oracle of God. That includes your mind's talk. There's nothing in you. No, there's no thought that you can have that can stand against it's finished. It's not a passive place. It's this letting this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And that act of letting is the act of repentance. For everything that you as a human being would do or think or be. It isn't passive. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And the way you engage the might of God is repentance, emptiness. Amen. You've got to see that salvation is the merest of beginnings. When people say once saved, always saved, well, you've misunderstood the whole Bible. That means you have the right to salvation because you've said, I accept you as my personal Savior, the same way the Jews did. The Jews said they have a right to salvation, it's a birthright. Well, your birthright is that you say, I'm born again. Well, that's crap.
Our salvation,
it's a beginning. What?
Our salvation and redemption, very similar.
Well, salvation is the beginning of redemption. He's redeemed us from the slave pit, which is the human race, but we can run back there in 2 seconds if we don't see the vanity of it. And I promise you, that's why I say this default position, if you will. As long as you're playing with your mind, then by definition, the mind, you can't use a part of your mind and not resurrect the whole beast. the thing that the to me, the thing that makes this clear, and it made it clear to me anyway, was that I was never an independent being. I was always a vessel for deity. The vessel for the Antichrist, the evil one, or the vessel for the God, the true God. And that vessel is Jesus Christ. But when we've read those scriptures about the seed, and it's, you know, some as the evil one gets, some as, you know, all that. Each one of those seeds believed, once saved, always saved. At some point. This new creature has no more reference to the old one. The new creature lives by faith alone. The old one lives by every hook and crook and crick, every crook and every nook. Now I can't even say it. As you might guess, I'm hurting kind of bad, but I can't get out to what I want to say.
Crook and cranny?
That's it, whatever it is. Hook and crook or something. It seems like that's some cliche I heard once.
Yeah, heard it.
But that's why I say the evil one is your default position, because that's what that's what he wants you to be. He wants you to continue to put the name of Christ on your flesh and think that your acts of your mind are sanctification. No, they're not, because they come from the evil one. And again, if when we study this new creature, every any man is Christ, he's a new creature. The word creature is a noun, but it's the feminine noun. And so, if any man is in Christ, he's become a woman. I mean, and if you just look at it, because you become part of the bride. And that's glorious. But you can't bring any part of you into the system, into the mystery. You can't bring any talents. You can't bring any past. The only thing that's accepted in the mystery is Jesus Christ. His bride. Well, that's enough for today. Anybody? Is it clear? Is it foggy? John?
It's foggy. I certainly. It's a lack of understanding, and I need to think and consider these things, I guess. There's some things that I just don't agree with, and most of it I'm not so sure. Other things I totally agree with you.
Well, I can only talk about what my experience has been. Salvation came when I was just totally bored. Nothing in the world I wanted. And it was glorious and it was wonderful and it was, but then, you know, I started thinking about it. And then, you know, I went through the tests and scriptures and all that. But many, many times I've taken the path and went down a path other than faith, because I thought it was what God wanted me to do. And it was always just crap. But it had to become crap for me to understand it. You know what I mean? You can't preach this, you have to experience it. But if you can't experience it if you deny the possibility of it.
Yeah, you basically don't know it's crap until you eat it for sustenance.
It's what we've talked about, you know, everything, you know, everything was attractive when you're, you know. But then you become more discerning in that you know you don't, you never know what you want to do. You only really know what you don't want to do. That's been my experience. So you can always say, well, this, I'd like to be this, I want to do that when I grow up or something. But then you get close to it, you say, I don't want to do that. And so that's what we've done our whole life, is I don't want to do that anymore. Even long before God even came in the picture. But then there's still stuff after you become a believer that, well, I still think I need to do that or I want to do that. Well, then you have to go do it until it's no more, until you've seen the emptiness of it. But while you're seeing the emptiness of it, if you deny that, if you deny that seeing the emptiness of it is what God wants, then there's a problem. Because you haven't taken the law of seed. You've justified yourself. If you can believe that he wants only the mind of Christ in you, and he wants you to see the vanity and crap of everything in time and space, so you give importance to nothing in time and space, if you can see that that's what's supposed to take place, then you're fine. Even if you love the Cowboys or some other thing. Because then by the Holy Spirit will show you. But if you take a stand and say, well, whatever it is, then you stop the action of the Holy Spirit in you. Until the day he stands up and says, now will I arise. And then it's too late. Then you've tried to wear the garment spotted by the flesh to get into the kingdom. So in a very real sense, he's waiting for us to see that. So that you give breath to nothing in the world. You love nothing in the world.
And you spot the garment.
No, anytime you use your mind.
Well, self, mind, that's
Christ. Every time you give your mind, you give importance to what your mind tells you.
Well,
you've spotted the flesh.
Turn away from
spotted the garment.
And turn to me, or use my mind, spotting the garment.
Then the garment is spotted by the flesh, because the mind is the flesh. Right? That help any? What's the holdup?
I'm right with you, and then you say something that blows me out of the water.
All right. Well, I would beg of you then, either don't go another step, or at least ask God to reveal it to you.
Is the book of Revelation allegory, or is that real, literal? What's about that?
It's just looking at all of time and space from the top down.
Yeah, but is there a story in there, or is that?
Well, a story is the preparation for the marriage supper of the Lamb. I mean, that's everything.
I have a really, really difficult time in my limited capacity to get around. Evil one resurrecting himself from a deadly head wound and just goes in circles. Makes no sense to me whatsoever, including, and even more so, when it's my actions that empower him to do that. I can't be only.
Well, I want you to stop a minute and consider that you have never lived as an independent being. Can you believe possibly that you've always been a vessel for deity?
exhibition of Christ in me only occurs when I'm a vessel. I have no consciousness in that. It's
okay.
A result.
I agree. But at times like these, when we're examining, as you like to say,
that's what Scripture says.
Huh?
That's what Scripture says.
Okay. It says to examine yourself to prove that you're in the faith. Know you not that Jesus Christ is in you? He says that over and over, except you be reprobate. So, if you know that he's in you in the fullness of the Godhead, then the only thing that's keeping him from that position in you is you. So that's why repentance is always the only way of getting out of that.
Right. Okay, I'm with you so far.
Okay.
I'm waiting for the next little bomb to drop.
No, that's it. If you still think some things in the world are important and attractive, then you'll have to go do it.
Those are carnal things.
Huh?
Those are carnal things.
Well, it's loving the world.
It's of the world, right.
Therefore, it's loving the world. It's giving importance to the world.
What it ultimately does, in my view, just like agendas do, the word used before, is it creates a self-serving attitude. We're in it for ourselves. It's about self. It becomes money. It becomes power. It becomes any number of things. Those are carnal things of the world, which are evil.
Well, but just look at the one sentence. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
I'm okay with that.
Okay? The word love there is not agape. It's agapeo, which is a verb. It means if any man give importance to anything in the world, the love of the Father isn't in him because Christ has taken the lowest seat and put him back in prison.
Okay?
Okay, so what happens then is the only way you can not love the world, give importance to it, is to see its emptiness.
Agreed.
All right. But because if you don't see it, even in whether it's your marriage or your family or your work or anything, if you don't see that, then you have to continue to love the world until you stop loving it.
We're going in circles all day. I totally agree with you.
Okay.
I totally agree.
Well, if any man, then you may be in any one of those four positions. You may be the child, still in the world, but is under the blood, so his sins are forgiven. Could be the teenager who's in the wilderness. He's lost everything. The only thing he knows is God. He at one time believed in God. That's his anchor. And then you could be in the beginning of entering the promised land, where you are strong in the word of God continuously in you, and you overcome the evil one. Listen, and then finally you're on the mercy seat. That's a journey, the same journey that Israel made. And that's what the parable of that journey was. And then when they got into Israel, then they had to make sure that they didn't get to the mercy seat until all the enemies, all the seven tribes were defeated. But the end is assured if there's always in repentance. So there's always repentance. But that takes integrity. You have to be just one person.
I'm not sure if the evil one raises himself from his deadly head wound or he wasn't really dead.
Well, he wasn't supposed to be dead as we understand dead, because if he were, then
he couldn't rise from it.
He couldn't test the seed of Christ that's in us in the same way he tested the seed in Christ. That's why it has to. That's why it's a perfect system.
So if he's rising from his deadly head wound in us, then baptism for many of us has been getting wet.
Well, baptism
getting wet over and over and over.
But that's what the Jews did. The it's you see more and more each cycle of time. It's soul. And the baptism is a certification of that. The baptism assumes, they'd love to assume in a perfect world, that each man was totally buried. No more mind of man. But then that's not the way it works.
I agree.
Help me with this notion that, first of all, the evil one raises himself from his deadly head wound, and even a million times more complicated is the fact that it's my actions that empower him to be able to do that.
Yeah, but
that's more than I can handle.
But that's because you think it's your actions, and you think that you've been in the picture.
Well, it's because of I'm acting in a worldly way. I'm acting in a carnal way.
It's because you see.
I've given him the ammunition.
In a period of weakness, you saw the need for the true Jesus Christ instead of the instead of Christ.
What?
As long as you're using your mind to live in the world, then you are.
Don't do that.
Huh?
Don't do that.
No, I'm talking about as when you were born and grew up and living, and you used your mind to exist. The purpose of that was so you could use your mind to exist until you've seen the emptiness and vanity of all things, till you got tired of eating dust. And then there's a break. You say, okay, man, God must, this is a, I want this other God.
I don't do that anymore.
Yeah. But then if you haven't seen the emptiness of the things that you thought you had seen the emptiness of, then you're going to continue doing them, either in actuality or in your mind.
Well, don't do that.
Well, I know, but you can't.
Well,
you can't
do that.
You can't. You
when
can
you do it. You when you do, you're off. You're off. You're off the path.
Right.
Okay.
So and
so
therefore,
get back on.
Right. That's
and
what repentance does.
And people who love me and the people in the community grab me and throw me back on the path.
Right. That's why we exhort one another daily to what?
That's
to what? Not to live nice and everything. We exhort one another daily to enter the rest, to cease from our own labors.
Okay. I'm with you.
And the only way you'll cease from your own labors is when you saw all the labors of your mind are simply empty and vain and fruitless.
Well, as I say, then don't do that. I don't know how else to say it. There's no other way to do it. Just don't do it. And if you lose track and you do it, which we will do, then pray that you can recognize it, create an awareness through examination, and get back on the track. Or wait for somebody to say, what are you doing?
Right, but my
and get back on the track. Don't do it.
No, I agree. But you can say don't do it, and then 5 minutes later.
But that's what I'm going to do. I guarantee it.
Well, I'm telling you.
So I ask for a greater clarity so that I can recognize it faster or
but
something.
But the greater clarity is the asking God to show you with clearness the emptiness and futility of all human effort.
Exactly.
Especially yours.
Right. That was a shot? What was that?
No, of all human effort, but especially your own.
Oh, especially your own. I see. I thought you were.
That way you can enter.
Yeah, I thought you were still taking a shot at you, too.
That way you
especially
can enter.
Especially John
Bojo's. That way you can enter the rest.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
And then you live by faith alone.
Okay, but in your description of this, Ollie, and forgive me, well, you don't. I can't do this.
Mm-mm.
I can't do this. I'm going to leave the path.
No,
and
no
I
question.
Say that, and I say that to you not because I want to, because when I do it, I want to weep. I want to say, "What are you thinking? Why are you doing that?" And I run back to the path.
Amen.
But sometimes, you know, when you're off the path far enough, you can't find it.
I know. That's
so,
why
so
we
you search for a while. Where is it? And it's glorious when you find it again.
Right.
And what is really disheartening is 2 steps later, I'm off the path again.
Well, and again.
And so I say, don't do it. That's all you can do.
I'm totally in agreement.
Okay.
But don't ever, when you're off the path, don't ever say it's God that took me off the path.
Well, I don't hear John saying.
No, I know he doesn't, but we're tempted to. If we are in anything but faith,
don't do it.
Right. Faith alone, without.
You used to say, you can command. You have the ability to command your soul to
be at rest.
And so I think that's what I'm hearing from, you know.
Well, I'm making the Psalms say that,
but
I didn't make it out.
Yeah, but I mean that's what I'm hearing from John. Don't do it.
You
know,
yeah, you
be
can
be at rest. Don't do it.
But it you won't be at rest until you've seen the emptiness of all the other stuff.
Empty.
So
I don't know how you can get there any other way.
Well, they call it the foolishness of preaching. That's
Nike has a shirt that says "Just do it." I want to have one that says
"Don't
do
it." No.
John, I've been exhorting you to get all right. I've been exhorting you to get on the path and start jogging again.
Take it, big guy. Don't do that. I promise you, with your knee.
His knee would just.